This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
The ships are rolling, and then I watch them roll away again.
Hey, if you're looking for uniforms for your select team, your grade school team, your high school team, your college team, can I recommend Winning Streak? Every time I see a really good-looking uniform and I see Adidas on it, I bet that's a Winning Streak one, and it always is. Winning Streak is that new, incredible business out of DuPont, Illinois. The phone number is 888-570-6194, and what they do is they come to your practice. They bring the best gear possible, Rawlings, Adidas, Mizuno. They fit you at your practice. They bring them back to DuPont, and then they bring them right back to you. It is one-stop shopping. All right, let's talk a little hardcore hockey. Our man Andy Strickland joins us. Andy, good to be with you. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Can you hear me okay, Frank? I'm having trouble hearing you.
I can hear you great. Yes, sir. Well, give me your takeaway from last night. As soon as you turn off that television set, your thought was what?
Well, I thought that, you know, the Blues, obviously, you know, Nashville did to St. Louis what St. Louis needed to do to Nashville, which was defend home ice and find a way to win on home ice. You know, Nashville's been one of the top teams in the National Hockey League here in the playoffs and the regular season. They only lost 9 regulation games at home. And, you know, they were the more physical team. They looked like the more desperate team. You know, St. Louis had a good start to the game. I thought they had some good chances early on. Tarasenko had a couple specifically. But it just looks like Nashville has more players right now that are involved and having an impact on the series in St. Louis. And that's going to have to change, and you hope that it will when St. Louis returns home.
Give me your take on what you saw in terms of how aggressive the Blues were. Because if you look at the shots, Blues had more. If you look at the hits, the Blues had more. I thought Mike Yeo after the game, you know, where he complimented his team, I thought he was right in line. I thought the Blues played a pretty good game.
I thought so, too. You know, you can look at the stats. Sometimes shots can be misleading. I think coaching staff, you know, coaches look at scoring chances more so than the shots on goal. You know, St. Louis had more hits than Nashville as well, although you can make the case that Nashville had more of the impactful hits, led by Austin Watson, who was a beast for their hockey club last night. You know, St. Louis, you know, listen, they got off to a pretty good start. They were managing the game well. They were in position going into the third period to win, and I think sometimes that's all you want to be in position to do when you're in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You want to have a chance to win when the game is on the line, and obviously the penalty derailed things, and it gave Nashville momentum, and St. Louis had a tough time after that. They had too many men on the ice penalty. We saw the Evans situation, even though the Blues got a gift there with P.K. Subban also drawing the embellishment penalty. But, you know, St. Louis right now getting chances. This looks like the way this game is being played right now, Frank, it's so different than any other series right now that you watch in the National Hockey League. I mean, watch Washington and Pittsburgh tonight. You're going to watch Edmonton and Anaheim. I mean, those series are so much more wide open. There's far more scoring chances. It's way more up-and-down hockey. You see odd man rushes. You see great players delivering with, you know, timely goals offensively. And you're just now seeing that style of hockey right now with St. Louis and Nashville. It's a much different type of game when you look at how structured both of these teams are. It's difficult to maneuver. There's very little room on the ice. You're not seeing odd man rushes. You're not getting those grade-A scoring chances. I mean, you literally have to work for every inch on the ice, and it's a hard, hard game to play. And you got to grind it out shift by shift. And, you know, St. Louis, obviously you got guys like Jaden Schwartz. This is probably conducive to the way that he likes to play. It's his natural style of play to compete hard. But again, you need your secondary players to really show up in the offensive end of the ice, Frank. You can't just rely on Vladimir Tarasenko to get it done. In the last two games, the Blues had 2 goals combined. They know they got to find a way to solve Pekka Rinne better than what they did the last couple of games here.
What did you think of giving Nashville the power play after that scrum? Did the Blues deserve 2 penalties and Nashville only 1? Do you think that was the proper call?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, listen, I mean, you look at the time of the game, Frank. Obviously, a 0-0 game in a playoff game. I mean, you hate to see the refs impact the situation like that when, in reality, the situation could have been diffused much earlier in the game. You know, talking to a few people this morning, I talked to because I talked to Kerry Frazier, who was a longtime NHL referee. I mean, guys who have been in this situation for a long time in the National Hockey League. And, you know, the referees had an opportunity maybe early in the game to allow, you know, Reeves and McLeod to just get it over with. If they're going to fight, go ahead and fight. Now, we don't see very many fights in the NHL during the Stanley Cup playoffs, so the likelihood of that happening probably is unrealistic, but still. You know, NHL referees don't like the way the St. Louis Blues play. I mean, there's a mandate from the league to jump in there and defuse the situation as quickly as possible. You see in the regular season often where players are sent to the box before the puck is even dropped, you know, when they're just jousting. I mean, the game has changed drastically compared to what we've seen if you've been watching, you know, NHL hockey for a long, long time. And in that particular case, you know, everyone talks about 10 players being involved in the scrum. Well, when Ryan Reeves jumped in there, you know, that brought everybody else to the party. And I'm not going to sit here and say he deserves the extra penalty. But, you know, talking to some people this morning, they say, hey, if you just pull him off as opposed to jumping him from behind, then maybe it's a different situation. Where now Cody McLeod turns around, he sees who it is, now he gets engaged with Ryan Reeves, and maybe, you know, he draws himself a second penalty as opposed to just getting one. But I think in that situation, the officials need to understand what's at stake. We're in a playoff series, a 0-0 game. It's been a very physical game. And you got to find a way to even it up. I mean, there were a number of players from Nashville who were in that scrum as well. In a regular season game, maybe you find a way to give St. Louis the extra one. But, you know, in a playoff game like that, you hate to say because it's a playoff game you want to officiate it differently, but in reality you probably do.
The embellishment call, did you agree with that?
You know, to be honest with you, yeah, I didn't have a problem with it. Just because, you know, P.K. Subban obviously has a reputation. The officials know his reputation. So when he's wailing around on the ice and then leaves to go to the dressing room, you know, they're going to pick up on that pretty quickly. You know, in that situation at first, you know, I thought it was an undisciplined play, to be honest with you, from Joel Edmondson to go out of his way to make that hit. The hit was a little bit high. You know, he was making the hit from distance. I don't know if he necessarily needed to do it, but at the same time, it didn't really impact the play. And you'd like to see the officials just not even blow it down at all and let him play. You know, there's no reason to even call a penalty there in that situation, in my opinion. But that was a gift for St. Louis, and I think it was a carryover from the fact that, you know, Nashville got the power play from the previous call there on Ryan Reeves. I think if we don't see that situation, then maybe it's a one-sided call, and Joel Edmondson could be the only player going through a box. So I think that was a makeup call, and I think it was a gift to St. Louis.
All right, what lineup changes, if any, will Mike Yeo go to for Friday night?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised to see Kyle Brodzak back to the lineup. You know, I mean, talking to some people close to the Blues there, I mean, they'd like to see Brodzak play the same way he does on the road that he plays at home. I mean, he brings a much more energetic game. He's much more effective at home. He's a veteran guy. You're one game from being eliminated, Frank, so in that situation, I think the more experience you can add to your lineup, the better. So it wouldn't shock me at all to see him come into the lineup. Who comes out remains to be seen. Will they choose to take out Zach Stanford, who I thought was okay last night? You know, he's a slippery player who can make plays. He adds some speed. But again, you know, some of these guys are interchangeable in terms of being able to come in and out of the lineup. You know, Magnus Tanevski, this game really isn't necessarily conducive to this style of hockey where it's a grind it out game. You know, he was the recipient of some real big hits last night. So he's a guy who you can certainly take out of the game as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what Mike Yeo does, but for sure I would imagine you're going to see some changes, and you're going to see some changes with just in terms of how he handles his lineup, Frank, during the course of the game with line changes. I mean, you got to find a way as much as possible to get Vladimir Tarasenko out there. The fact that you put him with a variety of different line combinations and effort to get the matchup that you want, to get him out on the ice against a matchup that you feel favors St. Louis, then you got to do that. I mean, St. Louis is going to have to come out with a desperate, desperate effort, and I would imagine they will in the first period. You'll see a much different Blues hockey club in an effort to extend this to six games and send it back to Nashville.
I know it's real easy to say when you're watching the game on TV, Vladimir Tarasenko should shoot the puck more, but it is only 7 shots in the last 2 games. That's not enough, is it?
I don't know. I mean, you know, he had 6 shots on goal earlier in the game, and you're right. I mean, it's all about, you know, getting the puck, Frank, and are you in position to shoot the puck? I mean, sometimes, you know, you've got two or three layers of bodies in front of you, and, you know, you can feel like the best option or the better option is to defer or to pass as opposed to shoot. But absolutely, I mean, Vladimir Tarasenko is one of the best players in the world, one of the few players in the National Hockey League to consistently score from the outside. He had some unbelievable opportunities early in the game. Pekka, you got to give him credit for it. He made some huge saves. Just like Jake Allen at the other end of the ice, he already made some huge saves early in the game to keep the crowd in it and prevent the Blues from scoring first. I mean, the Blues are 4-0 thus far here in the playoffs and scoring first. And, you know, I think they scored the first goal. I think they won, actually, what, game two when Nashville scored the first one. I think Nashville scored the first goal in every game of the series. But you need your best player in Vladimir Tarasenko to be dangerous every single game, and not just in the first period. But sometimes you got to work to create your chances, and the players who are willing to do that typically get rewarded.
Who did you like last night? Who's the best player on the ice for the Blues?
Well, I thought Parayko was really good, and Joe Levinson once again, to be honest with you. You know, Jaden Schwartz has probably been the Blues' most consistent player up front. Vladimir Sobokin has gotten better throughout the playoffs. He was a little more quiet last night. But, I mean, it's been that threesome, just in terms of who's looked to be the most consistent, along with Alex Pietrangelo. I know some people are being critical of Pietrangelo, but, you know, I think you're barking at the wrong tree when you want to criticize Pietrangelo's game. This guy has so much responsibility in terms of not just the minutes he plays, Frank, but who he's playing against. He's playing in every situation. He's playing a ton of minutes. It may look easy from the couch or from, you know, wherever you're sitting, when the game is played here in St. Louis. But those are hard, hard minutes. And this guy's given it everything he has, and he's playing, you know, at a high level right now. This is why you need secondary players. And I know everyone kind of fell in love with the fourth line late in the season and then early in the playoffs. But the reality is you need guys like David Perron and Patrick Bergeron to score goals for you. It can't just be Vladimir Tarasenko is the only guy who's giving you offense. And when you fall in love with the fourth line, that's when you sometimes get in trouble, because those guys are good players. They create energy. They get in there. They forecheck. They finish check. They get the crowd going, whatever, when they're at home. But typically the fourth line, these aren't the guys that are going to move you on or advance you in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You need other guys outside of just your best player to score goals, especially when goals are hard to come by. And they keep talking about making it difficult on Pekka Rinne, and I think that's absolutely true. You got to find a way to get bodies in front and make it difficult for him to see pucks. The way you do that is by having extended zone time at the offensive end. And that's what happened, you know, on the Alexander Steen goal in game three. I mean, they had an extended shift to get their defensemen running around. They're out of position. And all of a sudden, Alexander Steen finds himself alone in front of Pekka Rinne, and Alex Pietrangelo did a nice job of getting the puck, you know, directed towards the goal. And that goal was created by extended zone time and a beautiful pass from Vladimir Sobotka. We're not seeing enough of that, Frank, and that's the way you get bodies, and that's the way you get traffic in front. It's usually created by extended shifts in the offensive zone.
Good stuff. Strictly media question. I've checked the hotline. Are they practicing today? Is there any media availability?
I think they'll have some availability. They got a 1 o'clock meeting today, and I think they'll have some availability coming up after that meeting.
Good stuff. Andy, I'll see you at the rink. Thank you, sir.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Frank.
All right, Andy Strickland joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Before we go to break, do want to tell you about McBride and Son. St. Louis's six premier home builders have teamed up with the local unions to really give you the best home buying opportunity of the year. So you get the builder's best deal, and you get an additional $2,000 to $10,000 cash for use at closing from the unions. It's the Union Home Building Partnership, and it's only during the month of May and only while funds last. The program showcases the unique relationship between St. Louis area unions and private home builders. In fact, it's the only one of its kind in the United States, impacting lives one family home at a time for the seventh year in a row. I love it. Quality union construction, affordability, while creating livability in St. Louis. It's a true testament to the can-do spirit of home building in our town and a great deal for home buyers. Visit any Payne Family, McKelvey, Fisher and Frichtel, Bridgewater, Simon, or McBride and Son community for details. Certificates will be distributed on a first-come basis Cash amounts range from $2,000 to $10,000 based on the sale price of the home. When the funds run out, so does this promotion. So act now. There was a shooting around Busch Stadium last night. We'll tell you about that when we come back.